Hi, I am Josh and I am trying to help Michelle raise a hand. After all, most of us have two. So please go to giveforward.com/givemichelleahand and together we can give her a hand.
Indie Nation listeners, I am at the Indie Gathering, the 15th annual such event.
Huge.
Big. Way over the top.
Independent Film Festival. And with me is...
Rich Yarber from TwistedSpine.com Productions.
William Alexander of Travel and Light Productions.
Brian Lawler, I'm with Shackstar Studios.
Crazy D from Crazy D's Music Palace TV and Film.
Joanne Harris.
Joel Anger, I'm an actor.
Hi, I'm Noah Cooper. I'm a writer-director.
Chrissy Gay.
Bob Fadley.
Nan Slocum from Lansing, Michigan. Production manager.
Ed Messina.
Hi, I'm Georgie.
Danny Ryan, and I'm a film score composer.
Taylor Chmerky, writer, director, cinematographer, and editor.
William McGrath.
Hi, I'm Alan Clay. I come from New Zealand.
Hi, I'm Stuart Fulljames. I'm art director for Butterfly Crush, here from New Zealand.
The Blurry Dude.
Hi, my name is Mitchell Mack.
And I'm Brendan Potter.
Ninja Zombies. Ninja Zombies. Ninja Zombies. Ninja Zombies.
And the winners are...
Indie Nation listeners, this is Lumpy. I'm at the 15th annual Indie Gathering, the International Indie Gathering at Westlake, Ohio Holiday Inn. And you might hear a little bit of humming in the background, or you might hear a little bit of funny sounding modulation in our voice as I post-process and remove it. But, you know, this is a big event, and there's a lot of people here from literally all over the world. And we're just trying to find a quiet spot, so we're in the wait room at the Holiday Inn. And with me is...
Crazy D from Crazy D's Music Palace TV and Film.
Okay, and obviously Music Palace TV and Film. What about the internet? Where would they find you on the internet?
Okay, they'll find me at lordlandonline.com. That's the CDMP TV and Film channel.
And we were talking before the interview. I was like, gosh, that sounds familiar. And let's just start off with, let's talk about the Black Ice Chronicles a little bit.
Okay. The Black Ice Chronicles deals with the 14 years that I've been in business at my 20,003 Harvard Avenue location. It deals with the various cast of characters who have walked through the door. And it's very entertaining. It's based on serious subject matter, but certain situations within it will make you laugh. It's a well-scripted, well-written, well-acted, well-edited, and you will enjoy it.
And now, how long have you been at that location again?
I've been there 14 years. Yep, celebrating 14 years.
And how long have you been involved with the Indie Gathering here?
Okay, this will be my first year coming to the Indie Gathering. I learned about it last year at the 48-hour film project.
And for the benefit of the listeners, why don't you run down what the 48-hour film project is right quick? Although, Indie Nation listeners, a lot of you will know we just covered that event as well.
Well, the 48-hour film project is a situation, I would call it. You, as a producer, director, go out, find various actors from around the community, get together, go down to Club Anatomy, find out what the genre that you're going to do, the prop that you're going to need, and the line of dialogue that you will use within the film. Come back and write the script Friday, shoot it Saturday, edit it, and get it in before 7 p.m. on Sunday. 48 hours.
Pretty easy feat, huh? Right.
Oh, no. just like what they say at the theater when they say rendering. It's rendering. It really does take a long time to render a 4 or 5 minute film.
Now, did you get to participate in that this year?
No, I came to support one of the directors that was in it this year. Last year I was on his team, and that's how I learned about it. And then this year I sat out and watched. I wanted to observe the films and look more as a person who would enjoy the films.
Yeah, I feel you, because I did actually cover that this year. And now Ray, who is the organizer, Ray Sachs, who's the organizer for this and also does the Cleveland Warrant Unit, he was telling me when I interviewed him at the event that they actually had a guy who was so pressed for time, he attempted to turn in his hard drive this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of people had different stories about what it took. One guy had to, because his computer shut down because he had a lighter plug into his laptop and it shut down the fuse box in his car. And so once he got it back up, he had to go on ahead and render it in lower resolution to get it up on the screen. That's why it was such a small box on the screen. So yeah, it was a many, many different interesting stories about how to finish a film in 48 hours.
Yeah, and if you listeners are interested in hearing some of those interviews, it's just the category 48-hour film project. Now, you've been doing this for quite a while, what you're doing. Why don't you give us a little bit more of a description about just what Crazy D's is? And you know what else I'd like to hear, and I always like to share with the listeners? Independent artists are what we're about, independent musicians, independent film producers. Any advice for the up-and-comings?
To ask your first question, answer the first question. Crazy D's is located at 20,003 Harvard Avenue on the southeast side. It's the first southeast side suburb of Cleveland in Warrensville Heights, Ohio. We cater to a diverse clientele, multicultural, I like to say. We have the first ever digital kiosk where you can actually come in, bring your USB-driven device and download music legally, all licensed from the labels, or it comes down on CD, because the music landscape is changing, the business model is changing, and now delivering music through digital transfer is where it's at. Now, as far as the independents, we specialize in independents. We have a large selection of independent artists on our shelves, well displayed. You come in, you can also listen at our listening stations, because we have listening stations where you can listen before you buy. So you come in and welcome independents to come out, bring their music. We take all genres of music because, again, we have a hospital right across the street from us that brings in various clientele to our business establishment. So we love the independent. I started out independent production in the studio, started at Cleveland State as a DJ first, then moved on to doing production and music. So I knew how it was, and I know how it is to have a location where you can bring your music and they're friendly towards you and they will sell your music and even show you how to go about marketing and promotion of your product. And that's what we do at Crazy D's.
Well, that's, you know, I'm going to tell you something. First off, we have the same alma mater. Give you an idea how long ago I did independent music composition. Did you ever hear of Rudolph Bubalo, who taught electronic music composition on a patch cord Moog with reel-to-reel decks?
No.
I studied, did you ever hear of First College down there? I was a first college graduate. I had like, it was an 8-credit-hour electronic music composition course, and because it was composition, I think I took it six times.
Six times?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I, you know, that brought to mind another question, I talk to a lot of musicians about this, is the fact is you've been in music for a while, you've seen some changes. I remember when the Fairlight was high-tech.
Okay.
And, you know, and then I remember when the next big step was it went from 8-bit to 16-bit, so it wasn't quite as fuzzy.
Right.
But regarding the up-and-coming independent artists, that's the independent musicians, it's something you and I are pretty much, you know, right in sync on. What advice would you give to them in terms of what suggestions do you have for them for being successful?
Okay, well, this is going to probably seem like coming from out of left field to certain people, but I'm going to say record in a studio that's still analog. And I want to tell you why. People say the MP3 is great. Okay, it's great. It's great after you've recorded it analog where it's full and warm, because there's top decibels at the top where you hear this digital growl. I call it, you actually hear the numbers churning in the matrix, so to speak, of the digital, and you hear it like a perfect example. If you turn on to 107.9, that's the urban station here in Cleveland. That's the earth that plays hip-hop and R&B. If you listen to the music that's being played there, you hear this digital growl at the top. You turn to 93 FM, which is the sister station, that plays music that was recorded in analog studios that was transferred into digital. You hear the warmness, the fullness. You don't hear this digital growl at the top. So for independent artists, especially people who play guitars, pianos, sing, most definitely record it in an analog studio in that 3/4 tape, because that will give you a full sound. Even 808 bass sounds for hip hoppers, that just rings so much fuller than what you hear on the MP3. So that's one thing as far as recording is concerned.
We used to call that headroom in the old day.
Headroom, okay. Okay, yeah, I've heard that.
Over zero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to touch on this right quick. I get asked all the time about podcasting and broadcasting. And I say, well, I have a mixer. And they're like, well, I have a mixer too. And I'm like, no, mine's analog. So even though I'm going to digital, what's going in first is analog. And you think I don't take my mic to +3? You're nuts. You're nuts. I mean, I have a voice that can sound bassier and better if I take it to +3. Why wouldn't I? And I get asked, honestly, this is one of my FAQs. Why can't I get my mixer to sound like yours? Yours is digital. So now you were going to go on. I interrupted you and, well, collaborated with you, let's say. What would be another tip you'd give them?
I would say don't be afraid to learn the business of music. Know about publishing. Know about copyrights. Know about how to get your songs onto different products like video games. Know how to place your music into stores like Crazy D's. Know that, and know that people who are humble get better results than people who are braggadocious outside of their records. I say.
I got one more question that I almost always ask. I refer to this era with the business changing, with the recording technique changing, with the elimination of a need for a middleman in a lot of cases. I like to call it the new media order. And you were mentioning earlier that the industry has changed, that you have legal USB kiosk. What is your take, like, in comparison to the RIAA and the MPAA on the internet and the value or threat of it to the musician? Because there's obviously the threat of piracy. Now, I'm going to put it out there again. Indie Nation does not endorse, condone, or tolerate piracy in any way, shape, or form. We are all Creative Commons, pod-safe music, as they put it. Mevio's Music Alley is one of our favorite repositories. If we do not have them at Mevio or a pod-safe repository, it is mandatory that I get a carbon copy as station owner of an email permission letter. If I catch one violation for anybody in my staff, it's automatic termination. And they agree to it, and they agree to assume full liability. So again, I want to put that out to the listeners. We are not about piracy, but we are about the new media order. So the piracy is the threat. Well, Jonathan Colton, I don't know if you've heard of him, maybe Code Monkey, but okay. He's a $500,000 earning musician a year now. He's an independent artist. In an interview, he once said, you know, Madonna can worry about piracy because I'm more worried about obscurity. In other words, that would be a non-threat or a benefit of the internet. Which do you think is more prevalent? Do you think they overlap? What's your take on it?
I want to tell a story. I used to push carts at Finest. This is way back. This might be dating me, but that's okay.
When Finest still existed?
When Finest, right. Some people might not know what a Finest is. It's like a Tops. Tops doesn't exist either. Okay, so I used to push carts, and I used to do remix tapes where I would take vocals and put and remix the music, honing my craft on how to go about production in the studio. So this one kid that was pushing carts with me said, "You're Crazy D?" He said, "I've got one of your tapes." And he pulled out a bootleg tape of me. He turned out to be one of my best customers on my music. And he went on ahead and would buy my music after that. So I have a different take on it just a little. However, first thing is most definitely the independent artist has to get into and be into the digital age, have a platform, possibly his own or her own server, where he can load or she can load up her own music and sell it out in distribution. Because now that, I don't want to say any corporate names, now that the corporate people have gotten into it, they're almost signing people to deals on the internet that is that are almost as bad as record company deals. So if you know that you're an independent artist and your stuff is good and you find a way to market and promote over the internet, you don't need a label to do it for you. You can do it for yourself, and then your shows are going to generate you more money. And so that's my take on it. Know the digital game. Keep a few hard copies. Perfect example, the Record Store Day, which I'm part of that coalition, were upset. The whole organization, the whole body was upset when Jay-Z and Kanye West released Watch the Throne digitally first and waited 2 weeks to release it hard copy. However, Lil Wayne is going to be performing on the VMAs on Sunday. It's after he finishes his performance at midnight, his CD is going to release digitally over the internet. Then that Monday, it's in stores. So which business model is better? Come to find out, Kanye and Jay needed the independent stores to take it to 1 million copies. But it didn't hit 1 million copies because people were sore. And we'll never know if some people held back on selling it because the corporate structure won't tell you. They just say, oh, it was number one on, it broke all records on iTunes. And it was still number one, even though it only sold 436,000 some copies. Whereas when Lil Wayne comes out, his business model is a little bit different. He knows the digital age is here. He's not going to cut the throat of the independent store where he once walked in, signed autographs for waiting fans that stood in line to get the CD autographed, photo, or picture. He hasn't forgotten about the independent retailer. So he releases it on a Sunday, and that Monday, instead of Tuesday, it's in the stores for people to get the hard copy. And I predict he's going over 1 million the first week just because of that business model. So know the business model. Learn about Record Store Day and how you can get your music spread from coming to one location, getting videotape. You can spread your music across the world. A person like me being involved within that particular organization.
Well, we've gone almost 20 minutes, which is fine. You know what? Because this has been a longer interview, why don't you roll on back about where they would find Crazy D on the internet?
Okay. Well, you can find me. There's a couple of different places. We'll start with my main website, LordLandOnline.com. That's the CDMP TV and film website. Then you can also reach me on Facebook.com/CrazyDeeDVD. That's Crazy D DVD. Also on Crazy D DVD. That's Crazy D DVD. And also on YouTube.com/CrazyD2007. So you can reach me there. LordLandEnterprises@hotmail.com. That's my email. And you can reach out to me, send me snippets of your music. We can get it in, set you up with interviews, and get you videotaped and get you going through the pipeline so people can hear your music and get you digital, hopefully, if all samples are clear.
And Indie Nation listeners, as usual, we'll have clickable links in the show notes.
I love this world.
Indie Nation listeners, you've been listening to a series of interviews from the 2011 Indie Gathering. You can find out more about this spectacular annual film festival at theindiegathering.com. Special thanks to Ray Such and Christina Michelle for putting together such a wonderful event. And if you're an actor, actress, producer, director, writer, or have anything remotely to do with film or theater, and you don't catch this event, well, I'll let Ray tell you what it's
about.
Whether
you're a producer, director, film scorer, actor, stunt people, writer, your life can change with just networking. If you're an actor and stunt person and you just go to auditions, you're going to be limited. It's like going to the lotto. You set your own world alive when you network.
Special thanks to Gavin Salkeld of SalkeldMusic.com for providing me with the background music for the intro and the outro. And again, you should check out this event, the Indie Gathering. You can find out more about the upcoming 2012, which will be the 16th annual, at theindiegathering.com. And if you don't decide to attend it and you're in film or theater, you're making a big mistake, and we're going to let the Russian fortune teller, portrayed by Carissa Gay, tell you what she sees for your future. Thank you for listening, downloading, and see you there next year.
I don't see a future. Nothing easier.
Lexi, come back here. I goofed. Yeah, well, how was he going to give the bigger ones to the next category?
Oh, do you want the other one?
Give me that.
Hey!
Indie Nation listeners, Lumpy is still at the
Indie Nation listeners, whoa, what did I do here? Where'd my game go?
Yeah, it's always a plus if you talk into the microphone that you actually have on.
That's a wrap, folks. Thank you for all coming.
There's good news for your earbuds. The best indie music. Indie Nation.